Good morning. Hello, hello, friends. Good to be with you today. We know that we are here in part because God brought us here and also because we chose to be here. Thanks for being here today. We pray that this time together and makes a difference. We're delighted to have the youth who traveled to Nicaragua sharing this morning in worship. They're going to share with us a bit about the trip. We're going to sing some songs together. We're going to see a video of pictures and videos from our time as well during Time as Children. We're excited to share with you about the trip. Following worship, we have our formation hour starts today. For children, that means children's choir, if you're in young fives and older. That means youth group for teenagers, sixth grade and older. And our adult formation class will begin in the Memorial Lounge at 11:30. Heather is leading a couple of Sundays about the art of pilgrimage, and the adults from the Nicaragua team will be sharing about their time in Nicaragua. So we invite you all to come and stay for that. We'll be in the Memorial Lounge. Youth and kids will be busy doing good things too. I want to make sure you see in your bulletin an announcement about our library here at church. It's right below us. We invite you to go check out and see if there are any books you might like to take home with you. We're in a season of making choices about what books stay, and we've done that piece, and we have books that we'd like to offer you if you'd like to take some home. Janice, will you wave your hand? Janice will be down there. She's helping us organize this work. I'm grateful for her. She'll be down there to greet you and help you see what's available. That'll be available this Sunday and next Sunday. So, Amos Health and Hope, who we are celebrating today, invites us to imagine. Imagine a world where the place you are born does not determine your opportunity in life. Where every one of God's children has the physical, emotional, and spiritual health needed to unlock their full potential. So may we enter into a time of imagination. Let us worship.
If you're able, please rise for the invocation. O God, our Creator, your kindness has brought us the gift of this new day. May we carry the good of yesterday with us, even as we are not imprisoned by the past. And let us not covet tomorrow before its time. Help us to embrace the uniqueness, the joy, and the goodness of today. Amen. Heaven is declaring God's glory. The sky is proclaiming God's handiwork.
God's instruction is perfect, reviving the spirit of being.
God's laws are faithful, making naive people wise.
God's commands are pure, giving light to us.
Honoring God is correct, lasting forever.
And the youth team, the Amos team, and the adults to come on up. We're going to gather up here, Ivy, in front of the screen. So can you come? You guys can have a seat right here on the stairs. Why don't you come up here? Yeah, on the stairs or even on the floor is good for today. Good. Welcome. Okay. And everybody else can have a seat for just a second. Today, in place of our usual Gloria, we're going to sing a song we sang when we were in Nicaragua. And it has similar words that you hear in the Gloria. There's Allelu, 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 Alleluia, Gloria a Dios. You've probably sung this song in English too. We're going to sing this song, and we sang it with the children and the teachers and the grown-ups when we were in Nicaragua, and we think it's really fun to sing, just like we think it's really fun to sing our Gloria song here too. So we're going to sing this in three parts. The choir is going to start us with Allelu, 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 but they don't say the ya. That's your job. So they're going to sing Allelu, 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 and we say ya. And you all say Gloria Dios. You got it? We're going to try it. Do we need some of us spread out? Grace, would you join the congregation? Amanda, would you join the congregation? Choir, I'm counting on you to just do it. You good? How does that feel? Would you like to have some of us up there with you?
No.
You got it. Okay. All right. So, and Marissa will help us get that started too. You'll help the choir get started, Marissa? Okay. Standing when it's your time to sing, you just go right ahead, or you might want to just put your hands up above your head. For those of us up here, let's do some standing. When we say the Yah, we got to get really big with that because it's such good news. Yeah, like you're standing, I be standing. All right, are you doing it again? All right, here we go. Choir will get us started. Their time. So we're going to sit on the floor and we're going to face up towards them. Asher, we can wait. We're going to actually wait till the end of the next song. I told you too soon. Sorry. Good. Marissa, here's this. I'm going to stand on this one.
Hello. Okay. Perfect. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
These are the youth members, most of the youth members, that went down to Nicaragua just over a month ago and served in two communities called La Majada and Nacascolo with our mission partner, Amos Health and Hope. You'll see they have a lot of notes on their phones, so they're getting ready to share some of their experience with you all. So together in Nicaragua, you all in this congregation supported us in doing various projects. So we installed water filters. We had a workshop with women and girls about menstrual hygiene. We did lots of kids' activities, kind of like a VBS. And then there were a lot of things that happened organically, too. A dance party, lots of games of soccer and football, and lots of relationships built along the way. So as part of the VBS, we did several sessions of this, but Zan did her thing leading the kids through the creation story. And the beginning of that story started with, you know, in the beginning, there was God's love. And so we had a bubble machine, and we saw God's love bubbling over, and we, you know, shared the bubbles with all the kids. And then the next thing was, let there be light. And one of the youth would hold up a headlamp. And we, and so, and after God made each thing, we had a refrain that we shared, which was, es bueno, es bueno, es bueno. It is good, it is good, it is good. Dios dice, es bueno, es bueno, es bueno. God says it is good. And this kind of refrain carried us through the trip. We would repeat it with the kids after every item in the creation story. And then it kind of carried through our trip, too. We were always thinking about what was bueno. Another one you'll see on the video that you'll see shortly is we all pretended to be animals. God created the animals, and es bueno, es bueno, es bueno. So when we were preparing to talk to you all today, I asked the youth to think about what was bueno to you? What stood out to you? What was bueno to you on this trip?
So when we were in Nicaragua, we saw the act of loving your neighbor in the most accurate way I've ever seen. There were always people ready to help you when something wasn't working. And for example, when the huge truck that we were all in got stuck in a river the first day, literally we were so close to the community and we got stuck. There were tons of guys that came down with shovels and they were just ready to help get this massive truck out of all the mud. And we were like, well, we're going to make it out with these guys. So, And then one family, they had a well that was destroyed in a storm, and they needed like to get it redone because the storm messed with the clean water. And the nearest house to them, they've been sharing their water for the past 4 months. And it's just, it's crazy because it's so interesting to see how selfless and ready to share everybody is, or everybody was when we were there. And then,
the thing that was bueno for me in Nicaragua was watching how excited the kids were to play with, play games with us. The first day, we were welcomed by one of the communities by a welcoming ceremony. And at the time, we only had one ambulance, which was just a Range Rover. And so we had to take two trips to the ceremony. And I was a part of the second trip. And when I got there, I saw the kids, our youth team, playing Pato Pato Ganso with all the little kids there. And Pato Pato Ganso in English is duck, duck, goose. And it just like warmed my heart seeing all these kids playing a new game and smiling their hearts out. And the rest of the week, the kids played Pato Pato Ganso with the same energy and the same energetic smiles.
What I thought was as bueno was the menstrual hygiene talk, because it's important to have conversations about our bodies and know that our bodies are amazing as women.
Something I thought was bueno was being able to communicate with the kids when we would play, even though I didn't know the language. And a story about that is I taught three boys how to throw a football even though I didn't say a word, which was really cool.
Something I thought was bueno on Nicaragua was the AMMO staff in particular. They were all just so sweet, so nice, so welcoming, loving. And there was one guy in particular, his name was Jairo. But the thing about Jairo is he didn't speak a lick of English, and I didn't speak a lick of Spanish. Yet we actually became, like, pretty good friends over the trip. Like, through nonverbal communication, we just worked together, had fun together. He was just, like, always finding ways to have fun with us, even though we didn't speak, like, the language. Like, for example, one night we had a karaoke night, and during one of the songs, he, like, grabbed a broom and just started doing air guitars. And he was just such a joy to be around the whole trip, and I just thought he and all the other AMMO staff were bueno.
I think for me, I really enjoyed going out and doing the water filters. I would skip other activities just to go install filters. And part of why I wanted to do that was just like seeing the looks of joy on people's faces as they welcomed you into their home and accepted the filter.
I think something that was bueno in Nicaragua was the second menstrual workshop, to be specific, because so many people came with their kids and their like younger daughters, and they also came with their sons. So Piper and I went to play some sports with them on the front lawn. But we played sports with them. We did baseball and soccer and football, but we also were a part of the menstrual hygiene circle at the same time. And then after, there was a dance party, so that was pretty fun.
Thank you, and I love all of the things that you said. Those were so bueno, and you're going to see a lot of the things that they mentioned in the video that we'll get to. So we know that these experiences can be transformative for youth and for young adults and for adults. And so we wanted to ask, you know, I know we're strapped on time, but I tried to combine three questions into one for these folks, which is, what did you learn, or how did the experience impact you, or what are your hopes going forward for the church or Amos or the communities?
While we were in Nicaragua, I learned that every person has something to give. You may not realize that you do or may not know what it is, but there's something always there. If you can play with a bunch of kids for an extended amount of time, perfect. If you can wash dishes, that's exactly what we need. And the things that you may see as normalities can create memories and opportunities for others.
What I took away from the experience of our trip to Nicaragua was how many things as a privileged white American I take for granted. And not just how many things, but also to the extent I take them for granted. Things as simple as water and food I have never had to worry about in my life, why we went to Nicaragua. When I brush my teeth, I most definitely have it on for more than I need to. Or when I shower, I wait for it to warm up. There's no such thing as that in Nicaragua. Things that we as Americans call basic, like clean, safe drinking water that comes virtually endlessly from a faucet, are something that a lot of people don't have. It really helps me realize how much we do actually take things for granted. And not just water, but there's a feeling that I get, a feeling of taking things for granted, really sets into my heart and carries over to things like cars or boats. Yesterday, I was in a town on Lake Michigan called Saugatuck, and the town has a marina, and naturally with marinas comes big, massive yachts. That are the size of houses in Ann Arbor. And it really makes you stop and think, how is this possible that people have these map boats and then there's people in Nicaragua who have water that is not safe to drink, have houses that are not that big? It's just like, it impacts me. Realizing how much I really do take for granted.
After going to Nicaragua, I realized that I need to be way more grateful for what I have and be generous with what I have.
Something that I learned is how privileged I am to just have a soft bed and clean water, and it just makes me conscious about remembering how little they had in Nicaragua and how much I have.
Something I kind of learned in Nicaragua is just no matter where you go, no matter the situation of anywhere in the country, whether they're like the richest people or the poorest people, they're still people with their own like hopes, dreams, ways to have fun, their own traditions, like their own things to do with their family for fun. They all have their own like little things. And the way it impacted me was just everywhere they go, like they're still having fun. They still have ways to like goof about and just like chill, and so that really just inspired me to just like just appreciate the little things in life and just learn to take joy from those.
The most impactful thing for me was the sense of purpose I felt. Like I knew I was doing something big for something good, even if it didn't feel super big. I know that the impact we made on those families is going to last for a very long time. And honestly, that was a little hard coming back, not having that purpose. But then I think that also helped me push myself to find purpose in my everyday life.
Yeah. One thing I learned that even with a language barrier, it was possible to communicate with everyone there, and we had amazing translators. But when I came back, my coach said that Ann Arbor is like a bubble, and without going to Nicaragua, I don't think I would have actually realized what she meant by that. And we just have it so privileged here with clean water and air conditioning and like warm showers.
Thank you all for sharing. I just want to say that everyone up here was so bueno on this trip and plugged in wherever needed. And, you know, if there were kids or teenagers hanging around because they wanted to play, they would drop everything and play, even if they didn't want to at that time, or if you were tired, or if you were hot. So I appreciate all of you all and all that you brought to this trip. So the last part of the creation story that Zan would lead us in was in telling all the kids, God created humans, And then God said, you are bueno, you are good. And so then we would hold up mirrors to all of the kids. And I just want to say, you all are bueno. You all are bueno. Thank you for supporting our trip. We are proud of you, and we are excited to continue to learn from you. You all are helpful and smart and fun, and you made this trip amazing. Es bueno, es bueno, es bueno. Amen.
One more song together about how the whole world is in God's hands, which was part of this exploration we did with the kids. So kiddos, would you stand up? Let's all stand up. It's good to move our bodies a second. So you'll see in your bulletin the Spanish. We'll sing it to the tune that we know. You've got the whole world in your hands. All right. Are you ready? All right. Two. You may come down. We're going to get our video started so we can show the movie. Yep, put that in facing this way. Wait, this first. Sorry. There's a finger. All right. Kiddos, I invite you to notice some things that are happening in this video that you do too. You'll see a lot of children, and you'll see them doing a lot of the same things we do here in Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti and Celine. Okay, here we go. Shoulders, knees, and toes. Yes, Finnegan plays soccer. Tortillas. Walk in to bring the water filter so people have clean water. There's Miss Cynthia. How you clean it, like you clean dishes. It's how you keep your filter clean. Thank you. friends. One of the greetings we learned from our friends in Nicaragua, specifically at the health clinic, Amos Health and Hope, we've shared this before, the way they show love to one another once we've shared or once we've taken a risk, is to say, amor, 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 which means love, 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 and they're spreading it out, and then they invite you to receive it like this. So kids, do you think we can be the amor passers-outers? Can we pass out the love? Why don't you stand up and let's face everybody else, the choir and all the grown-ups, the teenagers, and we're going to say amor three times, which is love, and we're going to do this with our hands like we're shooing out the love, giving out the love, and then you all can receive the love, all right? Which is so much of our experience here in Nicaragua. All right, so here we go. Let's do it. Are you ready? Three times. Amor, amor, amor. Great. Maybe you should do it back to us. Can you do it back to the kids? Oh, yeah. I feel like that can come back too. Here we go. Let's receive it now.
Amor, amor.
Amen. All right. Let's head to church school together.
In DJ's absence today, I share with you the words that he wrote for today's prayers of the people. I'm so sorry.
Heather, can I borrow your bulletin? I don't have the list of any so far. Thank you.
Let us pray. Wise and knowing God, we gather in this space today, aware of your presence, your power, and goodness. But God, we sit here today with more questions than answers. The words of Psalm 2 comes to mind. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? Why do Eastern European countries rage against one another and plot week after week of war? Why do the nations in the Middle East rage against each other and continue to plot more missile strikes and more hostage killings? Why do the nations rage against the earth you have given us? And why do nations battle for resources and boundaries? And why does our nation rage? Why do we and our leaders continue to plot vain things? Why do we rage against immigrants and against those who do not share our political beliefs? Why do we plot words of anger, hate, and disrespect for others made in your image? Why does our nation rage against those who do not define themselves as others think they should? And why do we plot restrictions, rules, and laws to give us more power and control? Why does our nation rage against those who hope for security for their family and opportunity for comfort? And why do we rage? Why do we rage against our coworkers, our neighbors, our friends, and members of our own family? And why are our plots motivated by greed, lust, fear, and revenge? Why do we rage? Help us today to hear your laughter as you scoff the powerful and rejoice over the pure in heart. Help us to hear your laughter as the children run and jump with joy. Help us to hear your laughter in the beauty of blue skies and falling rain. Help us to hear your laughter knowing that death has not won. Help us to hear your laughter in our own giggles and grins. Help us to hear your laughter in the midst of a raging world. And then let us find peace in your silence as we listen to names of people who are wounded, hurting, and troubled. We pray for Caspian Powder, Bob Reynolds, Rob Snyder, Roberta House, Mervyn Schwartz, Esther Floyd, Betty Gerstler, Marilyn Marsh, Janet Sinewski, Bill Nummy, Helga Mortensen, John Milborn, Greg DuBois, Cindy Okarski, Keith Maurer, Beth Granberry, Grange Burnside, the Sanford family, John Rowe, and Fay Key. And now as we hear the echo of those names in this holy space today, we find ourselves longing for the assurance of your presence. And so, loving God, we say a prayer together to remind us of the unity and the hope we find in your present and coming kingdom. It is a prayer that begins with, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
From the book of Mark, chapter 8. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, Who do people say that I am? And they answered him, John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. He asked them, But who do you say that I am? Peter answered him, You are the Messiah. And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? The word of the Lord. Our youth have preached much of the sermon today. And I thank you. I thank you for not only making this journey, but holding it, continuing to hold it in your hearts and your spirits and bringing it back with you and sharing it with us and continuing to reflect and think and be open to change. The trip to Nicaragua was not for sightseeing, although sights were seen. It was a journey that fits the definition of pilgrimage, a journey with a purpose of finding something that matters deeply to the traveler. It may be a physical journey, as this was, long or short. Centuries ago, Christian pilgrimages lasted years. This last spring, Peter and I took a pilgrimage along part of the Camino de Compostela in Spain. It lasted 10 days. It may involve walking, going a long distance, but it can also be a journey within through grief or transition or reading or study or art. Wherever one may need to travel for the purpose of finding something that deeply matters. John O'Donohue says, a bona fide pilgrimage needs to bring about a change of mind, a shift in the soul. No change, no pilgrimage. We have pilgrimages to walk through all our lives. In fact, all of life could be seen as a kind of pilgrimage. The first necessary step is to leave home. That means to step away from what is familiar, what is comfortable, what is easy, what is routine, all those things that we love about home. And it's not easy to do. Peter and I saw an example of this when we were living in China, teaching English to college students many years ago. We were invited to join a group of American tourists who were visiting our city, and they invited us to come to dinner with them in a nice restaurant. We sat at the table, and the server came and began to set the table with clean dishes and glasses, but our American friends pulled out napkins and cloths, and they began to wipe and clean all those clean dishes because they weren't quite clean enough. And then they took out of their pockets and purses silverware that they had brought from home because they didn't want to eat with chopsticks. And finally, they were not shy in expressing their frustration and impatience with the server whose English was not up to their standards. We felt kind of superior, Peter and I, because we could use chopsticks, and we were actually living there. But the truth is, I hate to leave home as much as anyone. I don't like being lost or confused or awkward or stupid, illiterate. So I chronically overpack. I was going to list the things that I pack, but it's so embarrassing. There's so many things that I take that I don't need and will never even look at or use because I want home to come with me. Organizations, churches that don't leave home or want to leave home will say something like, well, we've never done it that way before. When we encounter the disciples, they have left home in this text. And it sounds like if you go back to the beginning of the book of Mark, like it was kind of easy for them. Jesus calls them and they step away from the boat, the job, the family. Although I noticed that on some of those callings and stepping away moments, it says that they did it immediately. And on others, they do not say that. So that might indicate that for some of the disciples, it was a little more difficult than others to leave home. But leave they do. And when we see them now in chapter 8, we realize that they've been on this journey because they had faith that Jesus would lead them to a place of wonder and discovery, healing or peace, something more and better than the life that they had. When Peter and I decided to walk the Camino, we found it hard to say why we were doing it. We went there for a lot of different reasons. One, because someone invited us. There was a nudging, a restlessness. There was an opportunity. There was a group going. We loved the guy who was leading the trip. We traveled with him before. It would be fun. But there was also, I think, a kind of a faith inside that was hard to articulate, that something good, holy even, that deeply mattered, could be discovered. Faith that Wendell Berry's words are true. There are no unsacred places, there are only sacred places and desecrated places. So we went for a lot of reasons, not completely understanding why. And in second hour, the adults who went on this pilgrimage to Nicaragua will be invited to answer that question. Why did you go? Why did you leave home? A pilgrimage can teach a lot. Patience, attentiveness, letting go, gratitude, humility, compassion, vulnerability. It can also present obstacles, and obstacles are teachers too. On the Camino, there were blisters, hurting knees and hips. One of our group missed the stopping point for the day and walked miles beyond, and we couldn't find her. The disciples stumbled too. They liked being in the inner circle as Jesus taught and healed and demonstrated all this great power and authority. But now things are taking a turn. Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" Well, Peter jumps right in, and first he gets it right. "You are the Messiah, the Holy One." And then he gets it wrong. When Jesus explains that suffering, rejection, and sacrifice are the hard consequences of living out God's love and grace in this world no matter what, he objects. "No, not that kind of Messiah." Some scholars would say that that's the reason Jesus warns them not to talk about it. He knows they don't get it yet. Peter, the disciples, we prefer a softer Messiah. Yeah? The kind who fits and advances our politics, who's good for flag waving, vanquishing the enemy, who does not disrupt our lifestyle. We would like power without pain, glory without humiliation. But Christ takes the disciple a different way. It is countercultural, to say the least. It changes a person, a church. There's a church right now trying to follow this Christ in Springfield, Ohio. It happens to be an American Baptist church, belongs to our denomination, a sister church. And the pastor was interviewed on the PBS NewsHour last week because the church has opened its doors to Haitian immigrants in the midst of a frightening and volatile political firestorm. They are welcoming and loving the stranger, doing what Christ does, and it is costly. If we are on pilgrimage, following Christ, we have to leave home. And we surely will make mistakes. And we may be called to a way and a life we have not yet imagined. But if we are following Christ, one way or another, love will be at the heart of it. And that is all that matters. Thanks be to God. Amen. young people have reminded us how much we have, how blessed we are to be able to give offerings of life, labor, to the work of God through the people of God. I invite you to give. We offer these gifts of our hands, our work, our investments. Let them express our thanks to you for the life and love you have given us and the responsibility we have to care for and to love others. In Jesus' name, amen. friends, our God trusts us to be conveyors of and sources of God's own peace. We have an opportunity now to offer this gift, this blessing to one another in God's name. May the peace of Christ be with you. Of course, sure, and may the peace of Christ be with you. Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you, Clay. I want to take a moment to say thank you to Marissa, who for years has been a really core piece of us being connected to Amos Health and Hope and the good work they do. Marissa went on this trip when you were in high school, and then in college, and then in college again, and then lived there for a while, and now has been a key part of making this first trip after the pandemic possible. So I feel really grateful. I know all of us that went on the trip feel really grateful, made so much possible. So we have a little gift for you, and I want to show what it is. So, because water, clean water really matters, a water bottle for you, and in the color of the one who has gone before us and who led you. So your commitment to the fact that all people should have clean water, I want you to remember that in our trip. A fanny pack, because you can't go on an adventure without making sure you have all the things you need. So when you go on adventures, remember us and our gratitude for you. We have this, which is a gift card to one of your favorite restaurants, to remember the friendships over meals. And a tea towel, because we experience hospitality, and Marissa offers hospitality that is transforming the world. So that, and then all of our words to say thank you. So we appreciate you. Would you all express your gratitude for Marissa with a clap, with an applaud. And Heather's good. Heather's saying yes. Let's even shift that to amor, amor, amor. Amor, amor, amor. We're grateful for you, Marissa. You make a difference in our lives.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. In the name of God, the Christ, the Holy Spirit, amen.